Welcome to this very special series brought to you by Straight to the Source and Food South Australia, with support from the Department of Trade and Investment.
We're coming to you today from the traditional lands of the Kaurna people, and we'd like to begin by paying our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here today.
We've taken our studio on the road to Adelaide, where we're catching up with 10 exciting producers from regions across South Australia to find out what puts them at the forefront of creativity and innovation in food production.
It's been really fantastic to spend time in South Australia over the last few days. It's really reinforced the diversity that's on offer here and the outstanding quality across the board.
You can feel the connection and collaboration between producers, and it's really wonderful because it makes them so much stronger together.
Yeah, we've had and heard some fantastic conversations with producers over the last few days, and we're really looking forward to sharing their stories with you.
And it's been mighty delicious. Let's get started.
Today's guest is Shawnee Fox from Southern Kuya. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, that's right. Kuya is the Kaurna word, which is the land we're on at the moment, and it means fish.
Oh, fantastic. So welcome to our pop-up Adelaide studio. I'd love to start our chat this afternoon by asking you to tell us about your business, which is producing candy-cured seafood products.
Yes, that's right. They're gourmet snacks. I'm a mature age student, as you most probably can hear in my voice. I was going to retire and raise fish, so I did a Bachelor of Science, and while I was studying at Flinders University, it became quite obvious that there are enormous potentials in what was now being considered as waste seafood products that weren't waste at all. So I asked if I could do a thesis, and with this product I have produced, I've commercialised my thesis, which is due in at the end of the month, so I have work to do.
Pressure.
Yeah. The name Kuya is acknowledgement of First Nations, and we are walking with them. So we start with our First Nations, and we hope to help them evolve and grow and become part of our business and spin off businesses from that as well. It's very much a community-faced business. We've been talking to a lot of people here today who are so excited. They're saying, what can we do? We want to be part of this. And it's becoming start of a very large manufacturing hub in South Australia.
Wow, that's fantastic. So you're taking a product that is normally just, as you said, going to waste, just not being used because either it's not suitable for, I guess, the size the market wants, or it's a cut that's end cuts. And then to weave that in with some working with the community and engaging the community, that's a beautiful story. But why fish? Like, what got you into, you said you wanted to grow fish, or?
That's right. I've got Murray cod. So we're growing them out at Flinders University, and then they're going down to the South Australian Research and Development Institute to start spawning them out of season so that we can have a large aquaculture system in South Australia for Murray cod. That's how it started. They're top end feeders. They, given half a chance, read a small dog if it happened to wander halfway across the River Murray. So I'm trying to find originally more product for them and came across carp. I tried to use carp as a gourmet fish product, but because of the bones in the carp, nothing we could do could get rid of those bones. So then I moved across to other fish that are all grown in South Australia sustainably, but because of they weren't the pretty ones. They were a bit like the carrots that aren't the pretty ones in Coles and Woolies these days. So we've taken them, we've cold cured them, we've candy cured them, and we packed them in small 50-gram valorized packs. I did it as a scientist, so I was trying to provide a very good product. So it is half your daily requirements of omega-3 for no price at all, and it's pure protein. It's taken fish that has normally got 10 days shelf life to something that's got at least a year, and I suspect longer.
Well, that's what's fascinating, isn't it? The shelf life on it is really quite phenomenal. And when you think about a fish product being on the shelf for that long, I guess a lot of people would think, oh, but it's the process by which you're producing it and sealing it in the packet that is giving it that shelf life?
That's correct. There's 9,000 tonne of fish that end up in cold chain.
Wow.
And are wasted. That's $100 million a year in just Australia alone.
Gosh, that's just amazing.
Across the world, there's millions of tons of seafood that's wasted that actually could be upcycled. So we're a circular economy. We have no waste at all. What is left, we grind down into calcium. We use the skins for collagen, and we can also use the protein if it's a fish such as carp and not very palatable, we can turn that into protein. So nothing is wasted.
So real, like nose to fin, fin to tail. What's the word?
That's it. It's totally usable and it's very sustainable and it's very good for the community and also for the aquatic life in the River Murray.
So was all of that really part of the plan when you embarked on this journey, or has that all become just part and parcel of the brand and the story? Like, how did that all evolve?
We've grown and we talk to people and we listen, and from that has come just more and more possible ventures. Just today I've been talking to fellow exhibitors and we can see bars that are made with extra protein and collagen in them, and I can provide them with that, ways that we can get a manufacturing hub here so that we can export together and we can do halal and export listing together. So together we'll get bigger, we'll grow, and we'll become really quite a story about a success story for South Australia as a community. And because of what we're doing with carp, we're actually improving the waterways as well. We've got Ramsar sites at the moment, which are World Heritage listed, that are 90% full of carp.
Wow, that's very exciting.
So
we
can
very
push
exciting
it down.
Future for the business and yes, for what it's doing for the environment and the community. So how when did the business start?
A year ago. I've been a bit busy.
Very busy for someone that was wanting to retire.
I give up. Going off with my boots on, I think.
But it's obviously something that you're very, very passionate about.
Yes.
And as you said, you're getting incredible feedback about it. So, gosh, a year, that's an incredibly fast growth period. What is the biggest challenge that you're facing in the business right now, and how are you tackling that?
So many good ideas.
And where just to start?
Where to start? So it's taken us a good 6 months to work out how we could deal with carp in a manageable way. Now we can start looking at what else we can do. We can set up nutraceuticals. We can set up pharmaceuticals, things that just don't exist in South Australia at the moment. Any face cream with collagen in it has come from overseas. We don't make our own, but we've got the fish. We produce so much fish in Australia.
But all the components,
Yeah, that's right. We just have those missing links that just have to be joined together, and lots of enthusiasm, which we have. It's just directing all that energy and coming together as a group. And I think we're doing this very well. And we're going to bring, it's very inclusive, the community and First Nations.
And so what are the products that you've got in the range right now?
In right now, we've got candy cured, yellowtail kingfish, barbecue rub, octopus, abalone and tuna. We've just started the powdered collagen, protein and calcium, and we have overseas orders for that because there's a world shortage. So all this has just started now. From there, we can then look at a manufacturing hub that might take a biscuit or a collagen bar and put more protein in it or more collagen in it. We can use the protein to add to noodles, which is just a pure carbohydrate at the moment, and make it more usable as a food source.
Fortify it.
A lot of children survive, because they love it, on noodles, but there's not much in a noodle.
I have a 13-year-old son who might be one of those children.
Would you like a little protein powder on that?
Maybe I'll sneak it in and see if he picks up on it. And so the candy cure products, which are in the market now in 50-gram and 100-gram yeah, packs, who are they appealing to? Who is the market that you're really seeing are embracing that product and wanting more of it?
Millennials who are asking questions about where food comes from, looking at their diet and saying, perhaps a little less meat, red meat, what else can I do? Let me look at fish. Fish is the most environmentally friendly protein to grow because it doesn't take long to grow, and it basically has a conversion rate of 1.5 product to 1 kilo of fish. It's much higher if you're looking at red meat. So it's a very easy way to grow fish, and it's sustainably and environmentally the most friendly meat protein you can grow. So
I can imagine it's very appealing to people that want to have a beautiful platter of food to offer guests to, you know, start a meal. I can imagine, you know, sitting down with a glass of wine and just snacking on it before dinner. Or how else are people enjoying it? What are you hearing the feedback?
Well, the millennium boys who've gone pumping steel and iron at the gym just take packets and squeeze it in like a sauce bottle, but that wasn't the idea. But you can replace a cheese platter. You can replace the red meat on the cheese platter with my fish, or you can add it there. It's a good conversation piece because what I've been seeing today is everyone's going, oh my God, that's really interesting. That really tastes, tell me more about it. So it's a conversation starter. A lot of people like to put it with alcohol. So my idea was to make people healthy with protein and omega-3 and not to make them healthy drunks. But, you know, it's a bit of give and take. It's still good for you.
And so the flavourings that you're using, yuzu, ginger and so forth, are they Australian source, South Australian source
products?
Some
of them are. This is a product of lockdown in COVID where you've got nothing to do but think about what you can put on your product. So the manufacturer who we're now buying out and I were starting to come up, we were in the kitchen trying different flavours, finger limes, yuzu, ginger. So we made up these flavours. Thank you, COVID, if nothing else for that.
We all had time on our hands.
Yes, and the seaweed and sesame, once again, was trying combinations. Nothing you can do with abalone or tuna other than just a smoking or a slight vanilla taste.
Have you tried different applications that haven't worked, or have they been?
No, they just keep getting refined. There was nothing we threw out and going, yuck. But we just did a barbecue rub on octopus because a lot of people are a bit nervous about eating fish. They haven't had it in their diet. But because of the enormous influx of Greek migrants after World War II, we had a lot of Greek food that have now become everyday food in our diet. So everyone knows what barbecue octopus tastes like. So it was a good way to get people to start eating fish, to try a little bit of barbecued octopus. Then what about a bit of yellow-tailed kingfish? And then there's always abalone and tuna as well. So it's teaching people about some of the delights of fish.
And so making it accessible through familiarity as well, which is a very
And it is idea. Affordable. So what we're doing is making sure it's affordable. Fish has become very expensive in Australia.
Yeah. What is unique about your brand?
No one else has done it. I don't know why. People
so it's
keep
an Australian
asking me.
First?
It's Australian first. They keep saying, why you? And I'm going, well, I don't know. I just had this idea. So it was bouncing ideas around. It was being open to new ideas, getting lots of really creative people around you, just bouncing off walls, coming up with ideas and not being scared to not try something. We tried everything.
And have you looked overseas for any sort of guidance or other businesses that you've modelled yourselves on, or is this just really...
It's just been, let's just do it.
Wow.
But we have got a lot of interest from Japan. So Department of Trade and Investment have taken us and a few other companies up to Japan and launching us later this month onto Rakuten. That's 90 million people going to Rakuten. And we've now got interest as well from other areas overseas.
That's incredible. So I guess that leads me to my next question, which is about scalability. What are your abilities to scale this business up to meet the demand that is absolutely out there?
Well, we're buying the business that was our manufacturer and we're looking at factories at the moment so we can actually put the lab in the factory so we can do several different things at the same time. And we're talking to the local council. We'd like to put it into the Goolwa area and they are delighted with this. There's an airport there. We can get our product straight to Melbourne. From Melbourne, we can go straight overseas.
And those logistics are very important, aren't they, when you're thinking of setting
up
that infrastructure?
Yes, that's right. And there's a lot of employment there. We've got regional employment we can do a lot with as well. And it's not far from Mount Barker, which is the next city in Australia. So we've got young professionals all the way down there. People have taken choices and said we don't need to live in the city and work. So we've got this interesting movement of professionals all the way down the coast. So we've got access to people, which is really important. We've got the scientific community very much on side, and the governments, local and state governments, are very much on side as well.
I was going to say, like, I think it is really having that support of local and state government and that support behind the innovation when you're trying something so new that people might be sitting there thinking, what are the possibilities here?
Yeah.
It's not quite clear. So to have that behind you is really fantastic. And I think South Australia does that really well. They really have built such great awareness of innovation and the new products that are being developed in South Australia, but how they tell a South Australian story as well, which is really important, because I think it is very much about provenance in the brand that you've built.
It is. All the products are South Australian. There is a little bit of yuzu that comes in from overseas, and we're now making our own seaweed mixture as well. So we're trying to bring it all in. 99% of it's Australian made, and we'd like to see it all. And we'd then like to get some First Nation products in as well, just to give it that extra South Australian or Australian twist to our products as well.
So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that, because you mentioned that right at the beginning of the conversation, inclusivity and working really closely with the First Nations people and communities. So how are you doing that within the business?
I've worked with Aboriginal communities for some time, so I have quite a lot of friends and contacts within the South Australian tribal communities, and they're all very keen to get involved in this because we want to see people thrive and get up the employment train. So definitely traineeships and partnerships at the beginning, but then we'd like to see people spin businesses off as well and just be there as the support. You know, we can help you export. We can put you through our manufacturing system so you don't have to hand pack anything that will help it go further. And some of those ingredients, like Muntries, might be just, which is a very good nutraceutical, might be something we could put into a product, and then it's got that wonderful story behind it as well. So we travel side by side with our community in First Nations. We'll be there together in the beginning and at the end.
That's wonderful. I think it's so important for the future of the food industry to have this collaboration and to really truly understand the origin of the ingredients and the produce that we have in Australia and how to respect it and use it to its maximum value, which you're absolutely doing with the seafood products that you're creating. Talk a little bit about sustainability, and that's obviously a very core pillar for the business as well.
It certainly is. Everything that we're using here is sustainable, and they use very good practices in where they grow their fish. So there's no problems with having a system that is flawed or flailing. The aquaculture system that we're bringing on board is the one that's being used across the world at the moment. So it's very sustainable. And there's good fish practices all the way through this as well. So everything is being treated with respect, including our old friend, the carp. So we still work with the RSPCA to make sure that when we do catch carp, it's dealt with in a dignified manner.
So do you think from a food-eating cultural perspective, how are we going to change people's perception of and attitude towards carp and eating it?
I think there's been a lot of, everyone's had time to think, and there has been an enormous shift in people's diets since COVID hit. I think people are starting to become a little bit more aware of their own health and well-being. These products that I'm producing as a scientist do have a lot of health and well-being sides to it. But in the end, it has to taste nice and it has to be a reasonable price. So we're aiming it at a price point where people can start eating fish again. It has been fairly much unattainable for some time. So we need to bring the price of fish down, which is why I set up aquaculture. So you're able to go in and buy fish at a price about the same price as lamb and chicken, which you can't at the moment with fish. So there's going to be another option. It's a much less expensive process in raising a fish. It happens much faster and it gives people choice.
And then I think it's giving them options of how to consume it. And, you know, I think putting a product like the Southern Kuya product range into the market is very clever because it's very appealing and it's very, as we said, it's snackable and it's accessible and it's affordable. So well done for developing this incredibly innovative business and product range. You did touch on it a little bit earlier in the conversation, but what are the goals or projects that are in the pipeline that are really exciting you right now for the future of the business?
I'd like to see us go into nutraceutical and pharmaceutical side. There are very few related companies in Australia. So it would be nice to see Australia have complete sovereignty over the entire range of products that we sell here. And I think getting some of our pharmaceutical companies actually making in Australia would be a good move for Australia's sovereignty.
So what do you need to do to take those steps to move that idea forward?
We just have to start moving along the line. So I got into the game with my Candied Cured. We're now looking at some fairly major movement forward now with our proteins, our calcium and our collagen products. We need to keep moving in that direction as well. So I'm a completely circular economy. I grow my fish. I also have a fisheries operation that fish down a pest. We've got a manufacturing industry now. We'd like to then move it into nutraceutical and pharmaceutical and bring a lot of people in on this as well, because as you can imagine, that's a very big organisation. It's just I've had this idea. It would be something that it would be nice to get a lot more people involved, and it would give Australia a stronger sovereignty position as well.
Right. So for people that are listening and interested in finding your products, where would they find them?
Well, we're online. We've got our own website, so you can certainly buy them through e-commerce. We're now talking with Foodland about sourcing our product there as well.
And you said you mentioned that there's opportunity in the export market.
Yes.
In Japan.
Japan and now Singapore. We've also got South Korea, and China is interested as well.
So I'd love to understand I'd love to hear your perspective on what being involved with an industry association like FoodSA does to support your business.
Oh, I don't know where I'd be without them, honestly. They have been so supportive when I first devised this product last year and I was wondering what I was going to do with it. They took me on board. They brought me to the show before COVID, when I had no idea what I was doing. It gave me an opportunity to have a vision, which I just didn't see where I was going with this. They've supported me the whole way along. They've got me into export hubs now, extra training, introduced me to potential distributors. They are an amazing organisation. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it's been really, really wonderful talking to you and hearing your story. I mean, would you have imagined 3 years ago that you would be here talking about candied seafood products on a podcast?
No, it was in my first year of my Bachelor of Science in Aquaculture and I was stumbling along trying to remember my compound formulas. I hadn't got any further than that at that point.
We can't wait to watch this journey evolve, and maybe we should catch up again in a year and just hear what's happened in another 12 months.
I'll bring a 3D food printer with me.
That would be very exciting. We could have spaghetti for lunch. Spaghetti and, yeah, that would be very exciting to see. Yeah.